The underdog is howling.
Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Sweet 16, Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast edition. Bear, I lost my voice the first day. I slowly got it back.
I lost more than my voice.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. I'm just glad here's the deal. When you got to avoid the upsets if you got the favorites right, and you got to hang around if you got the dogs. I was just glad I didn't have San Francisco or Kentucky.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. I love you too. You're such a good
guy. I was able to root for that. I was able to root for that and take in what it was. I think I jumped in on an Iowa live at some point, lost that. But there's a sense of, I don't know if it's selfishness, but after you get through Thursday and Friday, like I wanted to get noon, let's go. Like noon, let's start going. And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, if North Carolina didn't go to overtime, like we would have had over an hour.
Yep.
In between. And I'm like, this, I want it all. I want multiple TVs. Like, give me all the action. But
the way they staggered those starts with only one game to get it into the primetime windows and multiple get, like, yeah, I get it. I mean, we both work in television, so we know the purpose, but at the same time, yeah, to have the days start. And then what Houston, Illinois was the standalone, I think, on Sunday, but I had San Francisco. Yeah. And that was, I mean, what can you do? You just didn't hit any shots early. And then, yes, I invested quite a bit on Kentucky money line during that game. Oh. So despite having a really good week, ATS, it did not end up well for your boy here. So he's got a little hole he's got to dig out of now.
Yeah,
but we've done that the last couple of days.
It's March.
We're getting close. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to get everything you lost on Kentucky money line back in a day or two. You just got to be patient. Look for the opportunities and slowly but surely get back up.
Yeah, it. I'm pretty sure I said Villanova for a national championship on this pod, or in a bracket, and then I ended up having an Ohio State money line against Villanova. So things change. Sorry if you don't believe in the change to the listeners, but we will get to the games. Let's start with Thursday, which I think blows away Friday as far as game possibilities.
Come on now, McCain's playing on Friday.
I got you.
Thursday is freaking awesome.
We'll get to that Canes game because I have a theory on that one. 7:09 in San Francisco, Arkansas versus Gonzaga. Gonzaga -9, over under 155. I'll say this. I feel like you're going to see a different Arkansas team. And what I mean is, I don't think anyone hates being the favorite more than Musselman. Like, you could just see it in the angst in his face during the Vermont game, and especially during the New Mexico State game. Oh, yeah. Like, just like, no, God, we
got to play these guys.
Yes. Don't let it be us. Don't let it be us. And then to see that release after the game where he knows he's going to the Sweet 16, he got the job. I think you're going to see a totally different team in Arkansas. And I thought he did an awesome job of talking about how long he's been coaching and scenarios that he's faced and what he was going to do with Teddy Allen and comparing it to, you know, defending Kobe Bryant back in the day. I look at Arkansas being able to hang around because they have the multiple bigs that you need against Gonzaga. And what I mean by that, Bear, is like not to defend, to make Timmy and Chet play defense on the other end. That matters, man. I thought Houston did a great job against Coburn, just exhausting him, putting different guys on him and making him post up against different guys nonstop. And then it ended up working in the end. But with Arkansas, I love the versatility they have. You figure Note's due for a bigger game knowing the scoring potential he has. Jalen's been getting better, I thought, every game, and what he brings to the table just from an activity standpoint, I love. So I just don't think Arkansas can make enough threes with Gonzaga. And I see the what numbers 155. I see the nine. If I would take Arkansas plus the points. They do lead the country in field free throws made and free throw attempts. But I just scoring wise, you saw what Gonzaga did coming back from Memphis. I think Memphis had a good blueprint for how to take down Gonzaga. But I lean towards taking the points here. I have to say, my favorite thing maybe of the weekend was Nebhard playing 40 minutes and going 4-for-4 from the line in the final minute. Like that stuff, like you want to depend on your point guard. That's a that right there. Give me 40 minutes to make all your free throws in the last minute. I'll take that guy any second. So I want to make sure I give Nebhard a shout out because that was as impressive a thing as I saw in maybe the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, and he hit that big three late too with the Holmgren moving screen that wasn't called that. No, I'm not bitter or anything. I mean, of course, it's perfectly logical that 12 minutes into a half, it's the fouls are going to be 8-0, right? I mean, it's just especially with all those big guys that Memphis has, you're not going to foul. But you know that was tough because you're right. I had Memphis in the game and they wound up covering. I had a money line too, but that they were right there. They just didn't make enough plays late, and yeah, some of the calls went against them. And it happens, but hey, look, you're up double digits.
Yeah.
And you couldn't finish. So credit to Gonzaga for coming back. Yeah, I don't love this game at all. We've seen recently these number one seeds that play close second round games have struggled in the Sweet 16. I don't know if it the energy and the exertion that Gonzaga had to come out with in that comeback and the emotion that Timmy and Amy, I've kind of wondered about Timmy, and he came up kind of small last year in the championship game and got beat up. He was awesome in the second half.
Yeah.
He was great. So you want to give Nembhard a shout. I want to give Timmy a shout too. Mm-hmm. I was kind of on the fence about him, but he was fantastic in the second half. I don't love this game.
Okay.
It's a stay away from me. If I had to play it, I probably would be align myself with you and take Arkansas plus the points.
Very well. Moving down. The following game that night, Texas Tech, Duke. I'll just say this. I've done a bunch of hits around the place this week, and this game reminds me of 2009 Duke when they played Villanova, and Villanova finally broke through, beat Duke very handily, and then Scotty Reynolds made the layup to go to the Final Four. I just think Texas – I remember that, just Duke getting almost manhandled and just the ball taken away from them. I feel like Texas Tech has that capability here defensively, and that experience and that wherewithal and that toughness, I think, is a bad matchup for Duke's youth. They're as talented as anybody. I still don't think Williams gets enough credit for how good and valuable he is. His stock's got to be rising. And Roach has been better, but I still think you got to count on multiple guys to be able to handle the ball against Texas Tech. And that's where I thought you saw Notre Dame do a good job of just creating that space for dribble drives. And Duke has the guys. They're just not dependable to me. So I like Texas Tech in this matchup.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this. I mean, before the tournament started, I had Texas Tech in the Final Four, and I have a nice ticket on Texas Tech to win the region. I keep wondering, though, we always point to Duke's best is better than any team in this side of the draw. What we saw from what we saw from Duke in the final 7 minutes, of the 5 minutes of that, 6 minutes of that game, was fantastic.
Very impressive. That's
the question. Can you play 40 minutes like that? And I was kind of surprised Texas Tech opened up as a favorite in this game. I thought Duke would be the favorite, and the fact that the odds makers open Texas Tech as the favorite in this game made me feel pretty good because A, they're not falling victim to the recency bias, and B, this is probably going to be one of those games where the line flips. I'd be surprised if Duke did not cover. I'd be surprised if Duke did not close this game as a favorite. And I like being on the opposite side of the move across zero, especially in this round. I think in this round, and I was talking to a friend yesterday about this, and he brought this up, and he said this is kind of, and I'm going to use the exact words that he used, because I don't want to screw it up, but he made a really, really good point in this game. Where's my bear? Here we go. This is the week that the undisciplined sharps lose, based on what I've seen over the last couple of years. So people like looking for, oh, Duke's, this fits kind of the mold, I think, in this round. I don't know. We'll see. But being that I have a Texas Tech ticket already, mm-hmm. maybe I will just play Duke. There's a little bit of hedge against that. I mean, it's certainly no guarantee if Tech wins this game that they beat Gonzaga. Mm-mm. But this is a tough game. But as a Texas Tech backer, I would feel pretty good that they missed layup after layup after layup and shot after shot after shot and still won that game. I don't think they're going to play that poorly offensively two games in a row. By the way, how tight were those freaking rims? And now you know why San Diego State scores 50 a game out there.
Did you know?
Good grief. But yeah, this would be, if I didn't have a Texas Tech ticket, I would play Texas Tech in this game.
Got it.
Because I already do. It's going to be a pass for me.
The one thing I wanted to say, going back to Gonzaga and Arkansas, I thought it was interesting. Both teams did not cover either game they played last week. So no. Something's got to give in that matchup.
Okay, so before the tournament, I had Texas Tech coming out of here and getting to the Final Four. What you've seen so far in the tournament, is anything would you like to change your Final Four pick from this region?
No, I had Tech also. So okay. It's gone the way I thought. I didn't think Duke was going to get here. I really thought Michigan State was going to do it. I think I had UConn beating Arkansas, but I have the Zags and Tech playing in the Elite Eight. So I thought this was a good draw for Texas Tech, knowing the makeup of them. So I'm good with that.
I'd probably change to Gonzaga.
Really? Okay.
I think the fact that they got, if they get past Memphis, I think they're in a good position. So I would flip to Gonzaga, and maybe that's part of me just because I have a Tech ticket and I'm being a little reverse psychology. I don't know, but we'll see. Before we move on, there are a couple things I want to mention. First, if you want more NCAA tournament talk, check out Bald Men on Campus with Jay Billis, LaFonso Ellis, and Seth Greenberg. Their first weekend recap podcast is up now, and their Sweet 16 Elite Eight preview podcast will be in your feeds bright and early tomorrow morning. Follow Bald Men on Campus whenever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, watch NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, on ESPN and the ESPN app. You can also listen to the show as a podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over on the other side, the South, the first game over there is 7:29 TBS Thursday night, Michigan, Villanova. Villanova -5, 135. Fascinating matchup. Both these games in this region are going to be awesome. High level stuff. Michigan really brought it against Tennessee. I thought they were phenomenal in getting out to the start that they did. And you just saw how that, when you see the ball go in the basket, it makes you get a little more hop in your step down the other side, you know, down the other end. I think Tennessee ended up going 2 of 18 from three, and yeah, I think that's the difference.
So cold in the final 9 minutes of the game.
Brutal.
They were in total control of the game, yep. And they just couldn't make a shot late. And it's funny, that was part of the MO going into the tournament. A Twitter follower of mine basically said Tennessee is either going to the Final Four or getting bounced on in the first weekend. And they got bounced in the first weekend again. And at some point, the narrative about Rick Barnes, I mean, there's something to it. I yeah, their players missed shots, but at some point as a coach, don't you need to either A, kind of call timeout, do something differently, calm them down, draw better looks, just do something to kind of break up the bad momentum, the bad karma, the bad energy plays that are happening to try and just relax and change your team's mindset. So yeah, that was disappointing for me as someone who had a couple of really nice prices on Tennessee, but not totally surprising. We've seen these three seeds struggle mightily and lose to 11 seeds in the second round quite a bit. As I had tweeted out, it happened again the next day with Iowa State and Wisconsin. It almost happened with Texas Tech and Notre Dame. So yeah, but this is a fascinating game for me. I think Villanova is the better team, and I the number of ball handlers and perimeter players they have. Will Dickinson give them a problem?
Yes,
possibly. I think the injuries that Michigan may have that'll be a key. I hate betting against Juwan Howard and Michigan in this underdog role because they played it so well. And I don't think they get enough credit for winning some of the games that they do. But Andy Glockner actually brought it up on Twitter the other day. Like, how many current college coaches would you take ahead of Jay Wright right now? And I think the answer is zero. I'm gonna lay the points here with Villanova and hope it gets into a free throw shooting contest late in that zone. And there isn't a team you'd rather have at the free throw line looking to ice a game than Nova.
I think both these teams are as tough as they are as there is to bet against. Jay Wright and Juwan and those guys. I mean, Dickinson is he brought it against Tennessee.
So Diabati, by the way, too.
What's that?
So Diabati, by the way, too.
Oh yeah. And it's funny. I mean, look at these teams the multiple bigs. I love seeing it. And you see it with a lot of these teams that are left. But that's why I don't really I'm dying to see the matchup. I don't think I'll have it if I had to. I think it's that close of a game where I would take Michigan plus the points. I think I believe you with the free throw shooting. The strain Villanova puts on you with that five out offense and just constantly cutting, driving, bounce pass to get to that matchup where any guy could go off the dribble to the hoop is so awesome to watch. And I know it was against Georgetown, but I got a chance to go in person this year and watch it. And it's just, it's so methodical. And that's why you don't see true freshmen, you know, have crazy success there unless they're a superstar, because he wants to instill that discipline in those guys. And it's just awesome to watch. So as tough as it is to go against them, I would take the points in this game. And the later game that night is this is probably my most fascinating matchup of the Sweet 16. It's Arizona and Houston. Arizona is now a 1.5-point favorite, 145.5. And I just need to talk about Houston, because this team, you want to talk about finding ways of motivation. Like Kelvin Sampson bringing up, I think it was in his halftime interview, walking off the court, of how the NCAA wanted to make us the last game Friday night and play us the first game Sunday. Like, you could just tell he instilled in his team, like, hey, you know what? Screw the NCAA. We're going to go out and play our best game against Illinois. And they made Illinois submit. The way they play defense and how crisp.
I love watching them play.
Yeah, it's so good. The unselfishness they have. Guys, hey, you got an open shot. Let's get you. You made, Shed had a couple open. Boom. He made four in a row. I just, everything about them. It's great to watch. They play so hard, so smart. And when you miss and you're playing against them, you ain't getting the rebound. You are not getting the rebound. And that's the matchup here, is how good Houston is defensively against the precision that Arizona goes with that high-low offense. I thought it's a really cool concept. They've beaten teams to death with it this year, and I think a lot of it has to do with Koloko and how much better he's gotten. And I would take
Arizona Mathurin, away from that in the second half.
I would take Mathurin over anybody in the tournament. I just think he has that killer instinct, and he's as talented as there is.
You don't want to give Kreese, you don't want to give him the ball to take those threes.
I do not. I'm interested to see who plays more, Kreese, Kerr, or Kier against Houston, knowing the ability to switch and how much better you have to be with the ball. I think I got to lean Houston in this matchup there.
To quote a buddy of mine or a name nameless, Houston is going to chew them up, and I will say crap them out. I will not say the other word. And I can't say I don't disagree. You mentioned Kelvin Sampson. Him against the rookie head coach and Tommy Lloyd, it looked like the moment was getting a little bit big for Tommy Lloyd, I think, in the second half of that game. Why is Kreese taking 11 threes? And why did they get away from attacking down low? They had points inside whenever they wanted it. And that was an issue. And if it wasn't for Mathurin showing the onions, they'd be gone.
Yeah.
They had trouble getting rebounds against TCU and keeping TCU off the offensive glass. What are they going to do with Carlton and Fabian White? That's going to be a massive problem. I like Houston in this game a whole lot too. Am I a little worried that a lot of people are kind of saying the same things that we were and beforehand about how Houston was a matchup for anyone? But games in San Antonio, I mean, I would think there'd be a large contingent of Houston fans that drive over there. I like Houston. We've seen one seeds that are this kind of short of a favorite in the Sweet 16. More often than not, they lose. I went back and looked. Like there've been 8-1 seeds that were either underdog or favored by 2 points or fewer in Sweet 16. 5 of the 8 lost outright.
Wow.
Three games went to overtime. So typically the fact that Arizona opened up this, remember how I was surprised? How I said I was surprised about Texas Tech opening as a favorite against Duke and felt good about that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Arizona opened up at such a short favorite shows that the Vegas odds makers or whomever set in the opening line, wherever, they kind of get it. And the fact that they're so short, they're seeing the same things we are. And they realize that Houston probably is the right side in this game. So I agree with you. I like Houston.
And that's the last game Thursday night. You know, it's going to be crazy. You just know it.
Oh, sure. Well, the last game, I think every night of the tournament's been been nuts. So again, I will ask you the same question that I asked you before.
Yeah.
For the tournament, you had blank getting to the Final Four. Who do you have now?
I had Villanova. I could be talked into Houston. I think they were plus 240 to win the region. That's not a bad bet. I think you're a 2-point dog again, or 1.5 against the one seed right now. Depending on who wins, Michigan wins, you'll be the favorite.
Yeah, you'll be favorite against Michigan. It'd probably be a better pick them against Villanova, I would think.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Pick them. Yes, so at plus 240, I mean, yeah, it's two games, but the way you're playing and the trust that I have in them, I think that's worth it.
Yeah, before the tournament, I had Tennessee. I think I'd go Villanova now.
Okay. Whatever that Elite Eight matchup is going to be is pretty high level.
It doesn't matter who wins. Look, any combo of those four teams is because you either have the Cinderella team, double the 11 seed in Michigan, or 1-2, or just a total brawl with Houston being in the game. Yeah, it should be great.
Friday night, first one, 7:09, CBS, St. Peter's, Purdue. This game is at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Purdue, minus 12.5, over under 135. You can have this game. I just know the last two 15 seeds to go to the Sweet 16 lost, but they covered. So you got that going for you. I just think it's a weird dynamic, and I don't know how it's going to play out with Edie and Travion against St. Peter's. They played great against Kentucky. They played even better against Murray. I thought they got a great whistle in the first half against Murray. And I don't know how it's going to play out here against Purdue. If I had to take a game, I would take the points. I don't love it, so you can have at it.
Yeah, I hate this game too. I mean,
and you know, going on TV shows this week, like this will be the one game everybody wants to ask you about.
St. Peter's continue
to win.
No, they're not going to win the game. But I mean, it's just amazing the fact that they're still here. And the Kentucky game was just ridiculous.
No.
The fact that Kentucky couldn't, and I'm sorry for going back to it.
No.
This is a team that's 319th in the country in turnover percentage. Mm-hmm. They're 260th in offensive efficiency, 317th in two-point field goal percentage. And Kentucky couldn't get a stop. It was amazing. Just to sit there and shake me. It was funny because I was sitting there with my wife, and who is not a basketball fan. She's sitting there on her iPad doing whatever the hell she is doing. And she looks up and she's like, oh, this is kind of a big deal, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, this is a very big deal, and more so than you probably want to know.
Did you know?
But yeah, I look, St. Peter's is a pain in the you know what to play too. But I think between Ivy and the bigs that Purdue have, like I don't know. I would never suggest like teasing college basketball because it's just so ridiculous. What are you going to tease Purdue down from, what, 12.5 to 6.5? Like maybe that falls into that range. I don't know. But yeah, I would be very careful here. I mean, I have no strong opinion. I mean, the only thing I would suggest doing is if you have a money line parlay leg open somewhere, play Purdue on them. Purdue's not going to lose. It's a bad matchup for St. Peter's in that sense. But the tough decision of Sheen Holloway's kids and the fact that they're there, it's awesome.
It really is.
They'll play well. If I had to play the game, I would agree with you. I'd take St. Peter's, but it's certainly not anything that I would just be volunteering myself to go play.
I think the world is going to take Purdue first half. And I would be scared to do that because of the emotion that's going to be in the building. It's in Philly. You know they're going to travel. It's going to be a lot. They make a couple threes. Like you said, Kentucky couldn't get a stop. Murray couldn't get a stop.
No.
And I said Murray's either going to blow this team out or they're going to lose a tight one because they're not going to be able to score. And I had Murray in a Calcutta. That's why I was really rooting for him because, man, what a draw they got. And I had used
Murray, and I'm mad at myself for it. I used Murray in my Survivor that day against my own better judgment, knowing that everybody was going to have Murray in that. But, yeah, I played the first 2 days so well in Survivor. I had Ohio State one day against Loyola. I had nice. Providence in the free, like, and then – I could have made a better pick on Saturday.
And we had to wait all day to watch it. That's what was the bummer. Yeah,
that's what sucked. Why watching every other option that I would have played win?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's like, oh,
just go right by the wayside.
Yeah, exactly. I may as well just play St. Peter's money line right now.
So, yeah, that's what I would just be careful because I think that's going to be a pretty public play. Moving on to the first game of the other side. That is going to be 7:29.
What do you want to do, North Carolina and UCLA first?
Oh, yeah. Here's the deal on that one. I'm fascinated to see what Cronin does to provide and help his team with matchups. Mm-hmm. This is a spot where I think he could show how good he is at what he does. My issue is I don't think UCLA can make enough threes because when you play Carolina, you miss, you're not getting the ball. They've got 40 or more rebounds in 5 of their last 7 games. And that's without Manek playing the last 10 minutes. UCLA is 22-0 when they shoot 43%. That's the game right there. Because Carolina's going to make threes. They're going to make a lot of them. But how can UCLA keep up? Are they going to go to the foul line? Are they going to make threes? I just think North Carolina just has so much presence on the offensive end and the ability to spread it around where I think it puts a strain on UCLA's defense. And I love them. I love what UCLA has done. I love the makeup of the team. I think they can obviously go to the Final Four with the points, with the way it is. I think Carolina is worth the bet here.
I agree with you. The Hawkeyes injury, I mean, you just don't know. It's so hard.
Now they're saying, is it both ankles?
Yeah, no, he's had problems for all season, and
yeah,
I saw McCrone basically say if he can walk, he'll play, mm-hmm. but we don't know if he's going to be able to walk. It didn't look good. The other day, the good thing I guess is he gets like the best possible, the longest possible rest period in recuperation period that he can get.
Yeah,
but is that going to be enough. I mean, who knows? So without knowing that, it's hard to really back UCLA. But if you get information and you guess right, you're going to get the best of the number because they'll probably move up a little bit if it comes out that Hawk is going to play. But I'm with you. I think this North Carolina team, the talent that they have, is ridiculous. I don't think there was a soul alive that thought that they would cover the game in overtime against Purdue, nonetheless come back and win that game after giving away the game away that they.
I went on just to see it. They were like Baylor was minus 230, I think, in overtime.
Press offense, by the way, might have been a little bit of a focus this week at the Tar Heels practice. That was just let's just pass the ball into the corner every time. That makes the best sense. But yeah, I had UCLA coming out of this bracket before the tournament started. But I think right now, based on the matchups and if you get North Carolina, Purdue in the Elite Eight, like you wouldn't like North Carolina in that matchup with the bigs that they have to be able to kind of negate Edie and Williams. Like if I had to repick my Final Four right now, I think I would have North Carolina coming out of here because I think the way they survived the one seed, didn't play well down the stretch. Manic coming back against a team that might be shorthanded. You look at history as well. The eight or nine seeds that have faced a four or five seed in the Sweet 16, they're 10-7 against them, 12-5 against the number. So it's a really good trend that you beat the one seed, you come back to play another highly seeded team, you play very well. And I think the clinical precision that North Carolina just destroyed Marquette in the opening round, the way they played for 30 minutes before the Manic ejection. Like, I like North Carolina here, just assuming that Hawkes is not going to be 100% and UCLA will not be able to consistently knock down threes.
I could be nuts, but I think I would take Manic as the best shooter left in the tournament. Every time that guy shoots, I think it's going in. Every single time. It's amazing. And how quick he got. I mean, guys are right on him. He still gets that shot off with that quick release. So we're in agreement there with Carolina on that side. And then on the other side, the first game in the Midwest is Providence and Kansas. Down to 7.5. I thought I saw an 8 out there. 7.5. 141.5. I don't know how they do it. I just think Cooley hangs around enough. I like Providence in this game. As simple as that.
Yeah, I don't have a great feel for this game. I think Providence is going to be a very public underdog, whether that's good or bad, right or wrong. I think people are going to kind of overreact to the fact that Kansas has been upset quite a bit in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight under Bill Self. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Creighton by the way, Doug McDermott, what an awesome job. Team has been shorthanded all year long and to lose the big man against San Diego State and come back and win that game. And then they haven't shot the ball well all year long and to shoot the ball the way they did to hang around that game and nearly win it was incredible. I think people are going to kind of look at that and maybe think Providence is capable of doing the same thing. And maybe they are, but I think the fact that Kansas got you talked about it too, with Musselman being in the role of the favorite, like that was like the Brown three should have been it in that game for Kansas. Great. And it should have been over,
yeah.
But it wasn't. And then it was like, but Kansas, to their credit, they didn't choke up and lock up and give the game away. Creighton made shots and couldn't get there. But I think the fact that Kansas is here now and got that close call against an area type team that, not that it's a rivalry, but it's a team in the region that would love to have beaten them. I think Kansas wins the game, but I don't know if I'd lay 7.5 or 8 points. This is a path. If you want to, Kansas money line with Purdue money line, I might have that as a base for a couple of other tickets. Maybe throw some Miami Open tennis in there and see if I can find some soccer to throw in there at a nice price too.
Very good.
Before the tournament, oh no, we didn't finish yet. Sorry.
Yeah, the big one.
We got one last game
late. Iowa State, Miami. I have a theory. Mm-hmm. If you ask an average person or somebody that just watches not a lot of college basketball, let's just say, and you say, name a player on either team, the response you'll get is, you know, Larrañaga, he's a pretty good coach. That's exactly my theory on this game. I think Miami's going to have to work a lot harder than they did for shots and offense than they did against Auburn.
You think
love
so?
We talked about it. I love the matchup for Miami against Auburn because of the guard play. I think this is what's it up to now.
3-0, 2.5.
This game Miami 2.5, 133.
As a Miami alum, like, this game scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
It's expected to win now. Like, this is how funny is it, by the way, that my alma mater is playing like my adopted team that I've been in love with since the Larry Eustace era. At Iowa State, the team that got screwed in the seeding and had to play Michigan State, and my second favorite college basketball team has to play my alma mater. It sucks.
No lose. That's all.
We'll figure out a way to lose. That's for sure. we never.
I know who Kansas is rooting for in this game because I know they don't want to see their conference foe. No chance.
Hell no.
So it is. It's just a crazy dynamic. I mean, you got that free flow in Miami offense, and Iowa State, they do a great job of getting you off kilter on the defensive end with the precision of those cuts. And then they have the one-on-one guys that could still do it. So it's a different matchup. I think it's a total contrast of styles. Like, if you look at the number 133, Miami wins, it's going over. If Iowa State wins, it's going under, you know? So it's a toss up game. I lean Iowa State. I like what they brought to the table, Sean going into Milwaukee and saying, no, this ain't happening. Now, I know Wisconsin has injuries and whatever you want to say, but going in and doing that is a totally different thing.
And getting LSU to just play a ridiculously terrible game.
Yeah.
Like we talked about it last week. I kind of joked about this being the Kansas or Chaos region because of all the factors you had in there with week 2, 3, 4, 5 seeds, 6 seeds, and it played out that way. That LSU without Wade, some of you thought maybe it could work out as a positive, but I mean they were terrible. I mean, I don't know how people watch that team. You're on the sideline. We're gonna walk in technical foul, like that wound up costing them. The points cost them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a couple of the huge threes that Iowa State knocked down late. A couple of the huge threes that they knocked down against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I can't play the game just because of my rooting interest here. Obviously, I would love my alma mater to get to the Elite Eight. Mm-hmm. But if I had no rooting interest or alumnus interest, I would probably lean towards Iowa State here with you as well. I'm curious, in the role of a favorite now, how Miami comes out after dominating Auburn. Getting the win against USC, against an Iowa State team. What an unbelievable job, by the way. How bad were they last year? And here they are on the Sweet 16.
Oh, incredible. Different team.
With a legit opportunity to win and get to the Elite Eight and take on potentially Kansas. And that would, you talk about the pucker factor. Goodness.
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be a crazy, crazy Iowa State home game too now. They get a little reverse of fortunes. Yeah. In Chicago. So that'll be late Friday night, and we'll see what the Elite Eight matchups are. I am going to be in New Orleans for the Final Four.
Very good.
Yep. Well, we're coming
to your city. Good for you.
Got some things cooking down there, so we will do that.
You going to Augusta the week after that? You just going right from New Orleans to Augusta?
I wish, but that's a no. That's a tight list.
I know it is. Oh, tell me about it. I've been kicked off the travel squad too. Don't worry.
Very good. Anything else before we go?
What else is going on? Louisiana Derby this week. I got to take a look and see what's going on.
Max Scherzer in a Mets jersey.
I have not. Just doesn't look right. Right.
Really weird. Really weird.
I hope he bounced. I hope what we saw from him last couple starts and postseason isn't foreshadowing to
well, this year. You know what uniform he's wearing now. So if it's good or bad, you know it's going to be bad.
My buddy, and I'm going to give him my buddy Ted Ganji, who used to work at ESPN Radio.
Yeah.
And now runs collegepressbox.com for college football and does a lot. He is a diehard, longtime Mets fan. And he actually came up with a list. And he just it's SWTM, and it's called Sucked with the Mets. And it's just a list of every guy who has been a big name acquisition and has sucked with the Mets. I can see Max Scherzer is maybe -110 to being a suck with the Mets edition.
Well, if Ted's listening, I got one name already ready for you. Starling Marte can't take BP for a month. So We're off and running. Those Pirates outfielders that come to the Mets, they're great. Jason Bay, he was terrific. All right. Well, I want to be positive. It's March. It's a great time of year. I don't want to talk about the Mets yet.
It is a great time of year.
Push off. We'll push that back. We got spring ball going around the country.
Yep. Hopefully those numbers will be – we'll see what type – what are we there around Memorial Day, I think, is when –
Oh, it's sooner than that.
Sooner than that, win total.
There's going to be a majority of schools, I want to say, are going to be done with spring ball in the next week or two. So,
yeah, maybe around the
you'll see some numbers flying around.
Hopefully, yeah, let's get an early look at some of those and see.
Yeah, start looking at that schedule too. Figure out where the first couple stops are going to be for the show.
Oh, yeah, it's a no-brainer. Horseshoe on 9/3,
okay,
and then Austin on 9/10.
Oh, that's in Austin. Okay.
Yeah.
Might have to go to that.
I mean, I'm not.
How's the bear doing in Texas in August?
three shirt day. I might have to hit our banks up for a couple of extra.
Yeah.
Extra polos to throw on logo free.
It'll be warm. That's
it'll
for
be
sure.
Real warm. It'll
All
be
right.
real warm.
Good luck.
Get that AC cranked up. You see what happened this year in Ruhlman, our stage manager, and everyone they finally figured out the best way to do it. What they do now is they take, I finally have an AC vent. What they do is they take it and they wrap it around and like attach it to the back of my chair. So it's literally like blowing up my back and that's perfect.
Did you know?
Ultimate game changer right there for the bear versus southern humidity in September.
Very good. Good luck with the games. Any questions, tweet at us at Chris Felica, at Stanford Steve 82. That'll do it. Bear, take us away.
Less you bet, more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.